John?
Okay, we're in the Rambam. Unfortunately, or fortunately, we can only learn once this week, because today's the only day of the week we're learning Rambam. And next week's also going to be once, but this way we won't forget everything.
Why once?
Why once?
We don't want to learn Monday night?
I would love to learn Monday night, but we have to turn the shul over back again on Monday night.
Oh, it's...
So we have to do that. Unless you guys want to learn from 9:30 to 10, and then just the five of us will do the whole shul afterwards, which I don't think is going to be a good idea.
Wow. I see Ron is already chomping at the bit.
Does he do this morning?
And Howard's thinking of it. He can direct us, because Howard, you're a man.
We'll see. Then we won't learn. Won't learn in the morning. Already gave up one. So anyway, let's go. Halacha Gimel. We remember we discussed last time we met. We discussed that the rabbis made a rabbinic decree of impurity on the lands outside of Eretz Yisrael, because non-Jews are not particular where they bury their corpses. So therefore, they gave a tumah of touching and moving. And then later, they gave a much lighter tumah of the airspace. That's what we talked about last time. And we're much more lenient regarding the airspace. Okay, so now the Rambam wants to give us... Now remember, this halacha is if you would bring some earth from outside of Eretz Yisrael and bring it into Eretz Yisrael, that would bring tumah. So let's see what he says in Halacha Gimel regarding that. Gimel, afar eretz ha-goyim va'afar beis ha-pras, the dirt, whether it be from the non-Jewish soil that's rabbinically impure, or from a beis ha-pras, which is a field in which a corpse was plowed through. They both carry rabbinic tumahs. Mitame b'maka b'masa, they basically give tumah by touching or moving. Gemara Shmaya, as we explained. Fine. Now it's going to really get cold. Vekamish yurim, and what is the amount of earth that has to be, that we're dealing with, in which the tumah is given? It's 14 degrees outside, and we have air conditioning. Okay. Anyway, so how much earth must be in that clod? Kechosam hamartzufim, the amount of earth that they would use to seal sacks. When they would have sacks, let's say, to contain certain ingredients, they'd seal the sack, and they would use clods of earth, and they would use that as a sealant. I guess they'd add some other ingredients, but anyway, who and how much is that? I mean, it tries to tell how much it is, doesn't really help us for our needs. Ukapika gedola shel sakayim, shel sakoyim. It's like a ball of yarn from the original spool that's used with by sack makers. So go figure that out. I guess in the Rambam's times, they had sack makers and they had those spools of yarn. So they knew what that amount was. I can't tell you exactly how much that is. But if they have that amount of dirt, that will give off tumah if you touch it or you carry it, and anything less than that would not. And then we're going to see a good example of this. And therefore, afar beis ha-pras, so you take the clods of earth from a field that was plowed, or afar chutz oretz, or a clod of dirt from land outside Israel, shabob bayark, that comes with a vegetable. Let's say you pluck a vegetable out of the ground, and it comes with a clod of dirt.
Right.
Okay? So now, imyesh b'mokam echad, if you have in one clod, that amount to seal those sacks, mitame, that is the amount that if you touch it or remove it, that will give off that rabbinic tumah. Vimlav, you don't have that amount. Ain't of it starve, it doesn't combine to other ones. When the rabbis made the decree, remember the rabbis make the decree the way they see fit, so they say it has to be the clod of dirt in its original state. Okay, so in other words, and you can't add up a different bunch of shurim. This is as opposed to, let's say, the laws of treif. When you're eating not kosher food, you have a shear of a kezias. So you could have a little bit of treif from one animal, a little bit of treif from another animal, combine all those together, and you get a kezias. Here, this clod that has to be the amount of sealant to seal up a sack, it has to be the original clod of earth, and not a combination of little bits of dirt together. Okay, shalogos el gush kibriyasa, and therefore masa, there was incidences, for example, shaligros bos v'chusaretz, they would send letters from outside Israel. I guess they used this dirt as a sealant even for a letter.
Uh-oh.
So it made special UPS to Kohanim. They get a letter to the Kohen with that little bit of dirt sealant on the letter. So they bring bos l'vnei Kohanim gedolim, to the children of Kohanim gedolim. There'd be tons of a saw, which is a lot of dirt. If you, let's say the guy got 10,000 letters.
Fan letters.
So lots of letters. So if you combine all the dirt, it would be even a saw or more of those sealants. And still, they weren't worried about tum at all. Why? Because it wasn't in any one of them enough of the sealant that the sealant would be to close up a sack. So therefore, that's how the rabbis levied this law, that when you take the dirt out of Chutz La'aretz, it has to be a significant clod as big as those balls of yarn, and that's what gives off the tumah. Further to that,
anything less doesn't. And
at all.
Not originally in that measure,
that's
no matter
right.
how many you
even
bind
you
together,
put, exactly,
will not do it.
Exactly. Now, continue with this idea. Now, we know we can make various potteries out of dirt.
Sure.
And you could take a clod of dirt, and the big clod of dirt, and it could you could make utensils out of that. Mm-hmm. So, interesting, he said... Yes. So Hamevi Tanurim Usvalim Uchli Cheres Michusar. Let's say somebody brings stoves or various vessels or earthenware utensils from outside of Eretz Yisrael. They were made from that dirt. Achelo Husku, before they were put in the kiln. Alright? Tmei Mishumeret Zagoyim, the give of a tumah from being outside of Eretz Yisrael. Now it must be
that
it's interesting.
Measure. It has to be the measure, though.
Because we consider them like these clods. So it would have to be made from a clod.
That has the measure.
And that clod has the measurement. And using that clod to make that utensil. Since it didn't go in the kiln yet, it really is real earthenware. Mm-hmm. And therefore, it gives off the tumah. On the other hand, Mishahusku, but once they've gone to the kiln, then the clod itself isn't tumah, but now you can get a different kind of tumah. What's that? Not a direct tumah, but a secondary tumah. They can be tumah mishum klicheres shenim verzegoyim. Now you can tell me as an earthenware utensil that can contract tumah. As opposed to the original tomb of the clod of earth, the earthenware that you bring back. Remember, the rabbi said the airspace gives off a tomb as well. So now utensils come back, and they could be tummy as utensil from the non-Jewish lands, shade and metamina, but have a much lower degree of tumah. When earthenware is in the airspace, the tumah that it contracts is not that strong, and it cannot be metami, a person or kalim, as we've explained in other places. A kli cheres does not become an ava tumah ever, and therefore it's never metami, a person or kalim. So the clod of earth rabbinically is like an ava tumah. But the kli cheres that's over the clod of dirt would not be an ava tumah, would have a much lower degree of tumah.
So what do you do with these vessels that you bring a clay vessel from outside of Israel to Israel?
Okay, listen, we're not concerned about tumah nowadays, so we don't have to worry about it. So it's not an issue. Okay, hey. Now, other examples of being in non-Jewish areas of the world where we're going to extend the prohibition in cases you might not have thought. Hamahalech be'eretz ha'goyim beherim ubasloim. Person who is traversing non-Jewish lands in mountainsides or in very rocky terrain where generally the non-Jews themselves would not bury the dead there. And therefore, there's not a great likelihood there's any corpses over there. Still tumah tumah shiva. You still rabbinically will contract of a strict tumah of 7 days. First of all, sometimes you could maybe have it, or it was just a general blanket prohibition. They said non-Jewish lands, we don't care, they're going to give off this tumah. Remember, we never know for sure there's any non-Jews corpse in a specific area.
No.
And we still say you're tumah. So we're going to apply that even to those areas.
Map.
What about it?
This.
Oh, there is a map? So what? Sorry. So what's the map tell us? Which one?
Renee.
Sorry that I didn't find the map, so we can pass it around.
Who's the map? I think he's going to come to it now.
Oh, he's going to talk about Syria. All right, that's not so...
No, it's like more than that. Cyprus.
Okay, anyway. All right, it's not that
Syria
critical.
Syria sometimes has a status.
It's not that critical. Okay. It's not that critical. Anyway, let's continue. But what if you're going by Yam? What if you're in the oceans? You're in the oceans of non-Jewish territory. Ubamakom shehayam ola bezapo, and places by the shore where the tide comes in, rushing in hard. Tar, you're pure mishum nogever hagoyim from the concern of that, because nobody buries the dead over there. That's for sure not in the ocean. Even if they did, way to the bottom. Yeah. Right? That would not be an issue. No one does it on the beaches. However, even though you're going to be tar from touching it, but still the tamei mishuma vira, you could have the lighter tuma of being in the airspace for that. Does not explain why, but you are. Next, hanichnas le'eretz hagoyim b'shita tevel migdol. Let's say you are brought in to non-Jewish land, and you are inside a large box or a large container. Haporchem ba'avir literally means they're flying in the air, meaning someone's carrying it. It's not you're not your feet are not on the ground.
So like
your feet
plane.
Are in the box.
Be in an airplane.
Okay, haporchem ba'avir. Tamei, you become tamei. What kind of tuma? The tuma of being in the airspace. Sha'ol zaruk ein akori oho. Even though if you generally inside of a home, that shields you from any tuma that's outside. But if it's not a stationary home, but it's being moved from place to place, that's not considered a barrier. And that's when it's closed on all sides. It doesn't matter. And
so a train.
Or whatever.
Well, this is the Kohanim and the plane over the cemetery in Israel.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that could be an issue. Again, you have to know how far the rabbi. Again, you have to know how far the rabbis levied this thing. You know, generally, like in the near airspace, I don't think they meant to prohibit it 3,000 feet above.
10,000 or 30,000.
Yes. 30,000. Yeah, I don't think they meant to do it under those circumstances. But anyway, so therefore, you get the tumas of the air. Okay. But, okay, it could be a problem with Jewish cemeteries. It's more of a problem. Okay, Vav. Syria. How about Syria? Okay, which was a land that King David did capture for a certain amount of time. So, you know, it was a little bit of a questionable status. Still, Afara Tamei Kechutz L'Aretz. Their earth is Tamei like outside of Israel. But on the other hand, since Syria is close to Israel and had a questionable status, will be a little easier. I won't give it the next decree. Vavira tar, but the airspace is tar and doesn't give off any tumah because that look goes over here. They didn't make a decree on the airspace. Lafikach, therefore, im hoisa smuch l'eretz Yisrael. If let's say now the part of Syria that is close to Eretz Yisrael, safa b'safa, touching edge to edge. Let's say, I guess that's what the picture is showing, but you can understand it. Let's say you have the border, Israel here, Syria here. Okay, so now you're walking from Israel directly crossing into Syria. Okay, and there's v'lohaya mafzik b'neim lo eretz ha'goyim v'lo beisak for us, and there's no non-Jewish land in between, and there's no cemeteries in the pin. V'lo beisapras, not a field where it had a grave in it that was plowed over. It's going right from Israel right into Syria. Hareza yochli kanes la bitara b'shita tel migel. You could go in a box because that only tuma in the box is the airspace, and we didn't decree on the airspace in Syria. But for hushlo yigash beguv yigash begusha, but you can't touch the earth. I don't know why the Rambam had to say it. He couldn't have just said it simple. It's not matami the aver, which you already said. So I don't. But I guess he's saying if there's no other concern, you're going straight from Israel right into Syria, then you don't have to worry about any airspace. Similarly, it's not even Syria. What about a regular non-Jewish land? Hasmuch l'Eretz Yisrael. That's next to Eretz Yisrael. Ve'ena b'nei makom tamei, and there's no place of tamei in between. And now you're passing by in this area. Okay. So then, since you're so close to Israel, harezu nivdekes, it needs a little bit of an inspection. Maybe there's a grave over there where he wants to go, utahora, and it will be kintar. Because again, they did not decree on the airspace of the non-Jewish lands that are next to Eretz Yisrael. I guess lands next to Eretz Yisrael, they didn't make a decree on the airspace. What the point of this halach is, normally, anywhere else outside of Eretz Yisrael, it's usur, it gives a tumah, period. There's nothing discussed. You can't get rid of it. But if you're right next to Eretz Yisrael, and so you're right there, if you check that area right next to it, you see there's no graves over there, then that land would be okay, I guess, since it borders Eretz Yisrael.
The earth or just the airspace now? Because if you took a clod of that earth, what would happen?
Well, he's saying, Harezu nideke, in the name of Tomei. Maybe just the airspace could be. Yeah. I guess just the airspace. They didn't do on that. Okay. If you know there's no graves there, then you can go there because then there's the airspace is allowed. Okay, Zion. Malcolm, now we're going to talk about places in Eretz Yisrael where non-Jews live. So that's an interesting thing. Up to now we're talking about outside of Eretz Yisrael. Now, in Eretz Yisrael, it's Eretz Yisrael, but you have Goyim living there. And now, let's be concerned that Goyim don't bury their dead properly, even in Eretz Yisrael. And a non-Jewish neighborhood, okay, could be a problem. So, halacha Zion, Malkam Sheshachnu Bo Goyim Eretz Yisrael, a place where non-Jews are inhabiting in Eretz Yisrael. Hareza, now, here's going to be the difference. We said, outside of Eretz Yisrael, it's just Tameh, period, generally speaking. Now, the fact that they're Goyim living in Eretz Yisrael, they have a neighborhood over there, it will be Metameh Keretz HaGoyim, it will be Metameh, rabbinically, just like out of Eretz Yisrael, because of them. Achirag, until you inspect the area, and if you've inspected it, and you're confident that there are no dead corpses there, then it's okay. And the reason we're concerned is Shema Kavur Bo Nevo'im, because maybe they would have more of a concern, they would bury their, they would just dump their miscarriages there. Yeah. So since they're not careful about that, we decree it on it. But since it is Eretz Yisrael, we're not going to be as strict. You have to understand, in general, I'm sure Chazal didn't want Jews living outside of Eretz Yisrael. I can assume that it's beyond the Pashup Shat, because maybe they're not careful with their Tumah. There's a lot of other things that are not good about being outside of Eretz Yisrael. So if you're in Eretz Yisrael already, all right, so as long as you can be sure that there aren't any miscarried babies that have been left around, so then you can be passing that land. So that becomes a difference outside of Eretz Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. Outside of Eretz Yisrael, you can never fix it up, unless it's a border town.
Yeah.
And it's contiguous. But anything else in Eretz Yisrael, yes, we have to assume Tumah, but if you check it out, it goes off. Okay, continuing. Halacha Ches. Now, Utruma Vekotchim Shenitva Machmas Midor Hagoyim. So now, in Eretz Yisrael, as opposed to outside of Yisrael, we mentioned last week, outside of Eretz Yisrael, any Tumah, any Kotchim that touches the clod of dirt outside of Eretz Yisrael, it burns Kachim straight away. We did say, though, the airspace, it's suspended because it's a lesser Tumah, right? And we don't eat it, we don't burn it, we suspend it. So now, if we have Truma and Kachim in this non-Jewish area before it was inspected, so same halacha as the airspace. So Truma Kachim, Shenitmu Machmas Midor HaGoyim, if you have a non-Jewish area in Eretz Yisrael, if Kachim and Truma touches the dirt, not the air, the actual dirt, which a chutzar should burn it immediately. Here it's tolling. We suspend it, meaning lo ochlim lo shorfim. We don't eat it, but we don't burn it, and we just let it spoil on its own. Okay.
Whoa.
Now, vakama. Now, here's the question: how long must the non-Jew be a resident in Eretz Yisrael, for us to be concerned that maybe he's dropping miscarried babies in the ground. So the rabbis had to come up with a number. So remember, it's all a rabbinic prohibition to begin with. So they can set the rules they want to make. And I know they'll have a question on this. So I'm telling you right in advance, when they set the standards, notwithstanding the questions. So they say like this, Vakami Yishu B'makom Yitzrach B'dika. So how long do you have to be there to check? Now, if a non-Jew just comes and visits for one day, he doesn't metama the land over there. But he has to be there a certain amount of time. So Ram says, our boy Miom, 40 days. Why did he pick 40 days? Because when a man and a woman are there for 40 days, he can get her pregnant. And within 40 days, you have already a fetus that's viable enough to give off tuma. And if she miscarries at the end of 40 days, and they dump the baby, then what happens? They've created tumah. So the 40 days is that window of tumah. So I know what you're going to ask. What if she comes when she's pregnant already from before? And that was more than 40 days.
The rabbi set the rules.
Yeah. And that's the point. So that wasn't your question. No. Okay.
No, didn't we have similar suspicions about Jewish women getting rid of their babies,
But that would be if you find, let's say, a big ditch with it. He's just talking their house. You know, just the front yard. I mean, by Jews, you can walk in a front yard. You don't assume in a Jewish neighbor they're going to bury even a miscarriage kid in the front yard. Yeah, you go out into the field, see a big ditch. Yeah, maybe they're going to throw it in the ditch. But this is just like random non-Jew is living there. It's a Yisrael. They're renting a dira.
So now,
So how long do you have to be worried about them? So 40 days. Let's say a man without a wife. Not likely going to have a baby there.
Not likely.
Doesn't matter. Rabbis make across the board. Low plug. Im Sharbraim Yom, if he stays there 40 days. Midoro, his dwelling place. Not the whole area. Just his dwelling place. Tame, it's Tame at Shabbat until you check it out. Same reason. Gzer, the decree is. Mishumador, Shitiyo Misha. Because he could be dwelling with a place with a wife. Now we make a rule. Goyim are there 40 days. We assume it's Tame. Period. Okay? That's the rule. 40 days, because that's the smallest amount of time that you can be able to conceive a fetus. And therefore, once we say that for a goy, it's any kind of goy, even if they can't have any kids. Because we're not going to be able to discriminate. This goy, yes, that guy, goy, no. We just go straight. A filo eved, even if it's a servant. A goy and his master is a goy and he doesn't have a wife, so he can't be able to have children. Visaris, or a man who's incapable, a sterile man, Oisha, or a woman by herself, or child boy who's 9 years and one day, who is technically capable of intimacy, but not likely, still also Medor HaGoyim. All these cases, it's a non-Jew in those cases, it creates a non-Jewish neighborhood after 40 days, and you have to assume there's a problem until you check it. Well, he belongs to the Jew.
He's
got a Jewish master who's going to watch over him, as we're going to see in the next halacha test. Let's just get one more. We can do one more today. We can do one more. One more. We've only gone 23 minutes, so we can do one more.
Let's go for it.
Since we're learning once this week. Mador goyim shahaya bo eved mi'Yisrael. So the way the commentators explain over here, a place where a goy lives, but he is an eved to a Jew, who was sold to a Jew. He's an eved Kanani specifically, and he's chayiv the mitzvah, so a woman is chayiv for. So the Jew is in charge over there. So there's a little bit of fear of the owner.
Right.
Okay, o isha, or a woman, o katan ben teisha, or a child who's 9 years old, who can meshamer muscle, who can watch over this goy, so yikbur sham nefel, he won't bury a fetus. So in that case, ain't sriya medicha, you don't need a medicha, because they act as a mashkiach over them. Similar as a goy, let's say that a Kanani has a wife, but there's Jews watching over, we'll assume they're going to say, hey, you can't throw that fetus over there. Okay? Ve'es mahem bodkim. In what areas do we have to check to make sure that they're not dumping off any babies? Esabivim hamukim, deep troughs. Vesamayim esruchim, or places, piles of pits with smelly water. V'chomokom shachazi. Okay, so those are areas where you would normally have to check if there is someone to be concerned about. It could be going back to the original halacha. We have to check out these places. No, I'm sorry. It's where this, where you assume not. So therefore, we can be sure it's not there. And now, any place where there's a weasel or a pig who could drag out the fetus, and yachom laholch misham anefal, answer, you don't have to check at all. Because they're going to pull them out. This is all in Jewish neighborhoods, per se.
So the fetus goes the weasel.
That's right. Okay. Because we're just wanting to check. So you don't have to check, because we assume they took them out. Finally, mother Hagoyim Shecharav, how about a non-Jewish neighbor that's been destroyed for many years? There's no Jews over there. But we know from antiquities there were non-Jews over there. Hareba Tumaso clearly has a Tuma. Achi, but they can tell you check it. And we're speaking where there's no weasels or pigs.
No.
And therefore, you have to be concerned, even from years and years ago. There could be some...
Why did we get the pigs in this? We always got the weasels before, but the pigs are a new thing.
It's a new thing.
Pigs are not carnivores.
Okay, well...